Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace today, Lord. Truly, Father, it's manifesting time. The fruits are on the vine. It's harvest time. Lord, we thank you, Father. We know, Lord, Christ has come to gather bride.
Amen.
Tell her to arise and come away with him. We are looking for that, Lord. So, Father, may that, Lord, we come before you this morning, Father, with a heart open to hear your word, Lord. May your Spirit, O Lord, come upon each and every one of us. Take away the burden, Father. And always be peace in our heart. For thou art, Father, Lord, the only one who could give peace. And that's what you have always been, Lord, to your people. Until we turn our face to you, Lord, we will not receive what we want. If ever our face is turned away from you, Lord, we cannot see that lovely one. And we are looking for him, O Father.
Amen.
And for him to come to us, Lord, and to see us as we should be, then, Lord, our face should be turned to him to see that lovely one who's coming in plain view now. May our hearts, O Lord, have the right attitude, sincere in every way, Lord, and to love you, Father, truly, with all our heart, soul, mind, spirit, and body. We ask for your grace today now to open the word of life to us once again in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, maybe sit it. I just want to, just to show you this, because I think that I want to go to some of the things that have been taught in the past. And that's why we're now dealing with manifesting time. So last week we dealt with a little bit of the background as to the Song of Solomon, right? To see the types in the shadows a little. Now, when we look at this chart, it's the coming of Christ for his church or the marriage of the Lamb. And this is when Christ comes to take a bride. Now we know that in Branhamism, to them it said that Jesus Christ had already come back in since the seal was opened. Okay? And that's why the same church over here in Singapore and many others too, they do not believe in having feet washing as well as communion, because Christ is already here. They are in the millennium, the rapture is over and all that. The problem with misunderstanding of parousia, and that's where the problem really is here. If people do not understand the parousia, it's a Greek word, means the coming. The presence has been translated in the Bible. But we cannot just take the word parousia and translate it in English and say it means the coming, the presence, and then give it an interpretation. To some, parousia means, oh, he's coming. To other, parousia means he's already here. That's not what he meant. Parousia can encompass and lots of events. From start to finish, it's called the parousia. You know, just like example, when we talk about the wedding. Now, when you use the word English, the wedding, what comes into your mind? Oh, wedding. Maybe it comes into mind is, oh, you see a bridegroom and a bride comes down the aisles of a church and go to the altar and get married, and that's the wedding. Is that just it? A wedding compass more than that. From the morning, right, to the day when they go into the night for the marriage, to the supper, and then from there to the nuptial chamber. Is that right? I mean, encompass events. You see, you're not saying, oh, the man and woman are married. Okay, there you understand. Okay, it means they're married. But when it's a wedding, it's a wedding that contains certain events that is being Carry it out. You understand? You see? You understand that thing, huh? All right. So we need to really understand all these things that the Bible teaches, not taking one word out of context and give it some interpretation. So now, I just joined, this was an old church, you know. Here we have, in this club that I draw up here, that present, of course, heaven above. And that's the home of the bridegroom. That's what Jesus is, right? That's the home of the bridegroom. That's where the Father and Son are in the heaven. Now he's gonna come down to take a bride and then bring her up for the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is a simple drawing of the child. And especially when we are living in this end time, it's manifesting time. And manifesting, that means something must be manifest. Not manifesting the fruit itself. It's a manifesting of how Christ comes also. How he seeks for the bride and how the bride reacts to him. The love between him and the bride. How he reacts and how she reacts, you see. Do you understand that? There is a relationship, and so in the closure, we can see in the book of Song of Solomon the relationship between the groom and the bride. Do you understand that? So now we have in this simple chart here, we always say that there are three phases of his coming. Three phases of Christ's coming, right? The Bible said that the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an angel, in the last trump. Now, I'm the only one that teaches completely all different from the Branhamites. And for practically everybody. Because what I see. And all the people just, I mean, especially when you are in Branhamism, you just stick to what Brother Branham said and just take it and, well, Brother Branham said so. So that's it. You see. Or someone wrote me an email recently, just about last week or so ago. He said, "Brother Dan, I heard from my brother that you got all your revelation from Raymond Jackson." That's kind of funny now, I was thinking. I said, "Well, the person who tell them must be a Jacksonite, because he must be always thinking that Brother Jackson had everything." And I told him, "The only thing that I received from Brother Jackson was the way he expounded the two trees as the two laws. Nothing else." But I said that when I read his contender, I was telling the Lord that I could associate with this man. You know. And I asked this brother, I said, "Go and ask the brother, who preached on the mark of Cain?" Huh? And I asked about the genetics of Noah. And many other things I ask him. I mean, God is still moving on. He's not just using one man, as everybody out there in the end time has a thing that his brother Branham is the only one who brought all mysteries. And yet they could not even use the Bible to prove anything. And that's what's scary. The first time when I heard Brother Branham preaches and said that the shout is the message, then it triggered something in me. I said, "If the show is the message, what on earth are that voice of the archangel and what about the last trump?" Because Bobby said, "The show is the message. If it's a message, it must be a minister, a messenger that must come to bring the message. And then what about the voice of the archangels? What is that?" Oh well, some will quote, Abraham said that when Christ descended, he did all three. Yeah, when Christ descended, he did all three. Does he mean to say that he did everything at the same time? You know what I'm saying? You can say that my friend, when he comes from America to Singapore, he did all three. He got his ticket, he took the plane, then he comes to the Lamb. Did everything happen in one shot? He may bear a ticket 1 month ahead. Right? Isn't it so? So there is always the gap. Thing doesn't happen all at one time. The Bible says when the Lord shall descend from heaven with the shout, then with the voice of archangel and with the trump. And then the Lord quickened me to see that those are three phases of three different ministries. If the shout is a message in the ministry, then the voice of the archangel must be a ministry. Where the voice of Christ is still speaking. And then the last trump is still the same. It's still God is still dealing with the taking home of the bride. Because until this whole three things is finished, and the Bible said, at the last trump, the dead in Christ then shall rise. If the trump is not blown, then the dead cannot rise up. If the trump does not happen, the dead cannot rise up. Now you tell me, do you think the rapture can just happen anytime? This is what we have been taught when we were in denomination. Is that right? Isn't that right? Yeah, there's a movie coming. Left Behind. Isn't it interesting? Like here, they'll show a church. In the movie, they show a church. The preacher is preaching. And he was reading the book of Matthew. You know. And then, he disappeared. The Bible dropped. His trousers dropped. His shirt dropped on the floor. He disappeared. And some of the congregation dropped. The rest of them left behind. They were crying. Oh no, I missed the rapture. Oh no, I'm left behind. Is it going to happen like that? No. And Brother Abraham said it's true. It's a secret. Is that right? It's a secret. A translation will always be a secret. It doesn't happen openly. You cannot be in the train, you cannot be in the bus and then just disappear. You cannot be driving a car and then you disappear and your car ran off the road and killed somebody else. Neither a pilot needs to disappear from the plane. Not at all. And we need to know the Bible. There's an information. It's important. Today we have all kinds of information on the internet. And people go out there and look for all kinds of information, and what do they end up with? They mess up their life. Indoctrinated. There are two young women in France. I don't know where you know about it, read in the news. 17 years old, 15 years old. They left home in France to join the ISIS. They were there for several months, and they said they want to come home. They thought it was a grand thing to join the ISIS. To die for Allah. Now they want to come back to France. They are not going to go back. They will not be taken back. It's bad. You join ISIS, you don't come back. And that's the thing about it. When you don't accept Christ, you deny Christ, you don't behave right. You think you're a Christian just because you say, I believe in Jesus, because I'm baptized in Jesus' name? There are many people that are baptized in Jesus' name and they are marching right straight to hell. And I want you to know that. We have the information here. God gave us this Bible as a roadmap. We don't just say, oh, we take the one particular flag that is sticking there in the map and says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, and that's fine. And you live the rotten life like as all the other sinners in the world. No change in your life. If you have a change in your life, there should be joy, peace, right? Temperaments, brotherly kindness, a Christ-like life. A testament to say, look, I am a Christian. If you are ashamed of Christ, as the Bible said, he'll be ashamed of you. And he will tell you, I never knew you. Why? Because I don't have any spiritual intercourse with you. That's what the Song of Solomon tells us, the intimacy. We need to be intimate with Christ. Not just say him as my Savior, and that's why everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. It's always been the same. The rich man that Jesus Christ spoke to. I kept the law from my youth up. You said, wonderful. So out you have and follow me. You look at Christ at that time. So Lord, I have and follow you. No way, man. No way. Your hope, you know, we may not have a lot of things like the rich man to sell off and follow Christ. But there are certain things we don't give up. And if you don't give up, you can never be a disciple of Christ. You can say, I'm a follower. You know what a follower is? Yeah, he goes, he just follow like that behind. Hey, a disciple is not one who follows behind. He sticks by the side of Jesus Christ. I'm not a follower of Christ, I'm a disciple of Christ. Do you know what a disciple is? That's what Jesus Christ said. I told the disciple, I call you no longer my servant, I call you my friends. And the secret that I have, I'll reveal to you. So you want to know the truth? You better draw yourself close to Him. Draw nigh to Him. That's the way you're going to receive it. You know. So here we have the three phases. You have, first of all, the shout here. Now here you have the shout. You see, Christ descended from heaven with the shout. Right? Then we have the wedding feast. Now here is where you have the voice of the archangels. That's the second phase. Then we have the third phase, the last trump. They will take the bride home. So there are three phases here. Now, this is just a chart, just to give you a rough understanding. That when Christ comes, there are several events that will take place. He gives a message, then he gets those that are his into the chamber, and he speaks to them, have intimacy with them. See, we were lost out there in the system, we were lost out there in the world. And that's what the message is given to us in this hour. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Christ is coming. He cometh. Come to meet him. So when we came out from the system, we came out from the world. We enter with him into the marriage chamber. Now he speaks to us now, intimately. Then when the time comes that we found out, when he finds that we are really wife. Wife make herself ready. Then he said, arise, my love, come away. Then that's when they will go back to the Father's home for the grand marriage supper of the Lamb. Alright? Okay, now let's turn to the Bible. Song of Solomon. Now, I want to deal with today, just for today, chapter 2. And we continue the series later. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Now, the Song of Solomon here. You know, somebody corresponded with me, and I told you last week, when we talk about the evening time, and when you heard me sing about the midnight cry, in Matthew chapter 25, you know, he said, that's not Brother Branham's. Midnight cry is not Brother Branham. He said, Brother Branham's message is the evening time message. So you see where the focus is on the word, evening. Evening to many people is the setting sun. Midnight is the middle of the night. So it's not evening time. You know. Now anybody who already read and look at the parable what Jesus said about the 10 virgins, you will know that just turn to it and see how the word goes, alright? Matthew 25. Put your hand, of course, in the book of Song of Solomon. Matthew 25. Now, and this Chapter 25 can never be fulfilled and was never fulfilled in time past, in any of this decade before us, or century we said before us. Because every parable, especially in the seven parable of chapter 13 of Matthew, there is a sequence of time. But here now, after Jesus Christ talked with the disciple, when they were asking, Jesus was discussing with the people about the temple, and I said, destroy this temple in 2 days, I'll raise it up, and so on and so on. And then Jesus took the disciple away, and the disciples started asking, so when the sign of coming, and what will this thing be, when it will be? And that is chapter 24. And Jesus said, there'll be war and rumors of war, pestilences, earthquake, there'll be false Christ, false teachers. Is that right? And so on and so forth. And then, there'll be a persecution of the saint. That's chapter 24. But all of a sudden, you come to verse 32 of chapter 24. What do you see? Matthew 24:32. Immediately after Jesus talked about the sign of his coming, he said, now learn the parable of the fig tree. Now, if the word was used right by the writer Matthew, and you know that Matthew is always concerning Christ as the king. Right? So he is looking at Christ, his position, where he take this position, where he take this position, what will happen? So after Jesus had talked about the sign of his coming in chapter 24, 1 to 32, 31, then now in verse 32, Jesus said now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and put forth leaf, summer is nigh. Right? So now, what does that verse tell you? Jesus is trying to tell them about this particular sign they used to be watchful. The sign of Israel coming into being a nation. In other books written by Luke said, behold the fig tree and all other trees, means other nations. Fig tree is Israel. All other trees are other nations. And what happened then? In 1948 we began to see that Israel became independent as a nation. Then from that time on, the march of many countries to be independent started. India, Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaysia. So all the trees started become independent, putting on leaves. Then in chapter 25, now watch how the word begins. It begins with the word THEN. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto them. Now in chapter 13 of Matthew he talked about the kingdom of heaven like this. But now he says, then, after you see the nation of Israel putting on leave as a nation, become a nation, and all other countries become independent, then the kingdom of God, of heaven, will be likened unto Temujin. Now that's when this is fulfilled in our generation. 1948, Israel became independent. 1953, around that period of time, 4 or 5 years later, Barak Obama started to preach the message. Do you get it? He started to preach the message. And this is the message of the midnight cry. Or we will say, the evening time message. Because why? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto them, which took their land and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Well, they took their land because why? It's evening time. It's definitely not daytime. Because we know that when the sun set, they start a new day. Is that right? So they took their land, prepared their land to go out when the sun starts setting down. Because that's when the wedding procession always takes place. Wedding takes place in the night. That's why in Asia, we always have the wedding in the night. If you have watched the movie, fiddle on the roof, right? You know what? They have the wedding in the evening time. They can have the wedding in the evening time. If the bridegroom comes late, then it goes right into the night. They have to wait until the bridegroom comes, because the bridegroom comes from afar. They don't usually live in the same village. So that's why the Bible said, when the bridegroom tarry, you know. And that's very true, isn't it? When I said this, if we know how to look at Matthew 25, in the 20th century, the Holy Spirit came down. 1903, 1906, 1909, that three period of time, stretched from England to Europe to America. It happens here, it happens here, it happened here, people speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit came down, they have power, they have the gifts, and they start evangelizing. And they realize that Christ is coming, and they realize that there is only but one God. And that's why we have the song, He's coming soon. That was the early period, and that's why the wise virgin left the denomination. The virgin left the denomination. The Baptist before, the Episcopal before. Huh? They were the variant, the congregationists. Different kinds of denomination. That's why they came, and then God blessed them. They came out of it. It was supposed to be a movement. But you know, 13 years later, that's when the schism starts. Argue over doctrines and fight me over doctrine over tiny little points. And so what happened? You create the BAW, the Examines of God, the UPC, the Oneness, the Nazi Pilgrims, the Shakers, the Quakers, all they have their own. So what happened now? The virgin are locked in there. They went to sleep, the system too. So in 53, around that period of time, is when the midnight cry comes. Behold, the bridegroom come out. Come out! Now you need to come out! Don't sleep in the system! That's the one. Let me tell you this, in the end time message, just the same. They said, well, we came out from the, we heard the prophet's message. They came out from the, you know, the system of denomination. But they are actually going to into a system themselves. Do you know? Yeah, they're going, some of them are going to the system. They proselyte, they have a headquarter. They are being, some people are being supported on a monthly basis. But also, as I said, somebody was telling him, he was telling me, oh, Brother Gan, so and so came, I mean, over a period of times, different one. Oh, Brother Gan, Brother Gan, support you, huh? Brother Gan laughed. Do we support him? Even Brother Nice was telling me. He said, oh, you're supported by Brother Graham. Brother Nice says, what support? The only support we have is he helped us print the book so that he could distribute here instead of printing here and send them. We don't support ministers. If God called them, God feed them. We only help support a church when they have a broken roof. Like those who suffer the typhoon, we try to help them, give them some support, get food, get some, give them some money to help them build back their structures. We don't give wages to ministers because I don't proselyte like them. Huh? Like one brother's minister over here in Singapore said that I, what he was on his website. He took it out after we told him. He said, that's the way he said, you're lying. He said, I grabbed Brother Nice for myself. That's the biggest lie. I don't know Brother Nice. I do not know him. You read his testimony, how he ran away from home, from Nigeria because of the problem he was facing. And he came over to India, and how the Lord led him to India, and he came down from, I think, up there in Vietnam or someplace, he went and he came down to Singapore, and he knew this brother. And he stayed with the brother. how he boasts about how he kept Radha nice in his home all the time. And one day he called me up, said, "Brother Gan, there's this minister from Nigeria, Brother Blessing Nice, who want to see you." I don't know him. So I visited him, took him a motorcycle, told me, "Brother Gan, I want to have a talk with you, ask you some questions." I said, "Okay, fine." My people come and see me, and they are ministers, they want to ask questions, obviously. So I took him to the East Coast Park. It was a weekday, it was in the morning, there was nobody, you know, we just sit there in the park, the beach there, and the table there. And he opened his computer, and I opened my Bible, he opened his Bible, he asked me this question, that question, well, maybe for about 2 hours or so. And I took him home. And the following day, Brother Khan, "I want to see you again." I took him again to the same place. Only two periods of time. I said nothing. I didn't try to proselyte him. I never tell him nothing. And you know, he touched me, he went back, he was being questioned. "How come you talk to him again? Do you know what this man is preaching?" "And all this and all that, and all this and all that." He was confused. He said, "For 2 years," he read his testament, "Brother God, for 2 years, I don't have a direction. Until God opened his eyes in a night vision." You remember the vision that he had? Where he was in a forest, and there was this river stream that was all clear crystal water. He said he wanted to drink of the water, but he doesn't have a scoop to scoop the water. And he saw me standing there, having a scoop, scooping the water, and offer it to him. And he said in his dream, he said, "I was afraid to take it from you." Because he was confused. Then he heard a voice from behind. He turned around. He saw Brother Bram standing there with a scoop in his hand and water from the stream. And he said, "Brother Bram," said to him, "we drink from the same source." That's why his eyes opened up. That's why he contacted me. And then God gave him visions and dreams and other things concerning the ministry. He's not the first one. Brother Wasa, Brother Charles Obun, Brother John Mark, you know. You see, the thing is, the way God deals with people in this way. The more that you fear, sometimes you don't know what to do, you've got to say, "Lord, help me, I don't know. I have no direction." There are the people, those that will fight against this ministry, I will let them fight. Because I know, I'm not on the losing side. Why? They ask, "How come you are so sure?" I say, "If I'm not sure, I won't be preaching. I stand upon this. On the solid rock of God, I stand. All other ground is merely sinking sand. You can stand on Brother Branham's word, you will sink. Because his word is not the absolute." "How can you stand up again? Don't you have the fear of God's prophet?" You know, they have so misquote the Bible. Fear of God's prophet. Fear for what? What is that to fear? Have I done anything wrong that I have to fear him? And I'm not like Miriam, you know. Because Moses married a Cushite woman. And he, you know what a Cushite is? That's an Ethiopian woman. And Moses had the right to marry her. But Miriam did not understand. "And she's not Israelite," and this and that. Ethiopian woman, she's not a Kenite. Do you understand that? It's like the naked Moses. Naked Moses. I'm not nagging at Brother Branham. I'm expecting him, but has God shown me who he was back in the 70s. So I embrace Brother Branham. And yet God honored. So when, you know what, in the dream that I had, the Lord showed me when Christ was standing there, I hugged him and says, "Lord, can I overcome?" He told me, "You shall overcome." When I stepped back, that vision changed, and there stood a man, Brother Branham. I didn't go hug him. He was not the preeminent. The one that appeared stood there was Christ. If I embrace Christ, if I can accept the Lord as my Savior, I should be able to accept His prophet, His messenger, His apostle, His evangelist, whom He sent. But devil placed the human being first in the place of Christ. This is what people are doing. Lift up Brother Branham on a pedestal, high above Christ. But Brother Branham said, when you show them the scripture, they fail to see it. They don't want to see it. And they said that I dare to speak against Brother Branham. I said, no. I said, you dare to speak against the word. No? We need to realize this, God. People have been mistaught. We need to know the issue of the word, God. So now you see, understand what Matthew 25 says? Then the kingdom shall be. This is the time. This is the hour we're living in. That we see this coming of the Lord. My beloved. The voice of my beloved. It's come. Now we look into Song of Solomon chapter 2. We look at this chapter today and see the intimacy in this chapter. Alright. I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughter. Now, remember one thing, and this is a song. It translates to English. And we all know that in Hebrew language there's no full stop, no comma, no semicolon, and such like. And this being a poem written by Solomon, it's a poem where certain people would say certain lines, singing certain lines. You understand? You understand what I'm saying? Huh? Alright, so these two verses now. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now, I don't care about what theologians try to interpret. Sometimes they do not know the cares and all that thing, you know. So, well, let's look into this, because we are living in an hour where the Word of God is open up to us. It's not that difficult to answer. All you have to do is to spend the time, look at it carefully. I'm the rose of Sharon. Some say that this is what the church is saying, the woman, the bride is saying. So we're talking about the bride now. Huh? So, who is saying what? They say, oh, the bride is saying that I am the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. You find that kind of a bit strange. I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. So who is that speaking now? We are looking at here between Christ, the groom, and the bride. Or the man and the woman is loving the man is loving the woman, right? Okay, and then there is another group called the daughters of Jerusalem, which means those who are on the outside, or as it would be, having that is a Hebrew song referring to Jerusalem. And this woman that is falling in love with this man, the shepherd lover, we call it the shepherd lover, because that's what the lover is. And we know that in chapter 1, verse 5, she said that I am black. Right? Is that all right? I'm black. But comely. But you know, here, she is a Shulamite woman. Okay. If you go to chapter 6, verse 13, you find it says that. Alright? In chapter 5, 6, chapter 6, verse 13. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return that we may look upon thee. What will we see in the Shulamite? Is it were the company of armies, two armies? You see, so she is a Shulamite woman. So she is not the daughter of Jerusalem. Okay, so now is it the daughter of Jerusalem? We will take it in our context. All those churches out there. They all claim to be no woman of our Baptist church. So this is all these daughters out there. Remember the hallowed daughters. Is that alright? Yeah, they call themselves, oh, we are daughters of Jerusalem. But we know they are daughters of Babylon.
Huh?
Daughters of harlots. Do you understand them? So now this Shulamite woman in chapter 1 verse 5 says, I'm black. What do you mean by black? Not that she's really black. But here we see that she's black with sin. We won't take that as an illusion. Okay? A time that she says, I'm black in the sense that I'm black with sin. But I'm comely. So she represents the woman who is saved by grace, like we are. Because we are all black with sin, you know. So now in verse chapter 2, he says, I'm the rose of Sharon, as Christ is speaking, the groom is speaking, or the shepherd lover is speaking. I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. As a lily among thorns, so is my love among the bride, among the daughters. So he's saying that, as a lily among thorns, so is my love, my bride, among the daughters. As I am a lily among the thorns, you know what thorns are? You know what lilies are, the valley? The lily of the valley is a very small little flowers, like a bluebells or something, a little stalk that comes out, little, you know, white lilies around. And grow in the, usually grow wild out there in the field. And you know that the shepherd, now I want you to say something. The shepherd, they go out there in the field watching over the sheep. You know, right? Like King David, you know? He'll take his harp, go down and watch over his father's sheep. So he'll sit there in the pasture and there will be the lily there, you know, sitting there. Couldn't there always be some thorn somewhere around? You know? Because weeds are everywhere. So he will sit there and play the harp and eat of her, eat of his own dinner and meal. And so, well, lily smells good anyway. So he sits among them. So she said, as a lily among thorns, as I'm a lily among thorns, so is my love, my bride, among those daughters out there. Compare the bride of Christ to the daughters of Jerusalem. Are you any different? And you have, we have to be different. Is that right? As raw as it is among thorns. What are thorns? Those brands are they poke at you, they scratch you. Right? And what would you want? When you see the lily among thorns, you prefer the lily, it's outstanding. You see the flowers among all those thorns, they hardly have any flowers. And they have you don't want to look at them. You won't want to pick them. So has a lily among thorns, so my love, my bride, my love, the one that I love, among those doors out there. We have to be different. This is Christ's expression of his desire for looking at you and me as we look at him. As the apple among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sun. So here now the woman, the Shulamite woman is singing. Huh? So now she sings in reply. You know, if you ever watch Oprah, huh? Those of you who watch Oprah, you know, this now will come out, sing something, and then the woman will come, sing something else. You know? Yeah. So this is how these songs are. These are all playing out a drama. So here's the apple tree. That's the groom. Okay, now the woman is speaking, singing. As a tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. So he is far better than all the sons in the world, because he is the only begotten. Alright. I sat down upon his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. That's what we also always experience. He brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me. What's love? That's always the one, huh? He always bring us. You know, when we lie with Christ, I just want, you know, sit with Christ under the apple trees and all that, and in the shadow of his arm, and he whispers sweet something to her, and she just feasting upon those food. You understand that? You see? All the banqueting table of love and all the sweet thing that Jesus Christ is speaking to us. You know. I think so, I believe so. I think that's Brother Rolly and Sister Cora. When we all first go out there cutting each other, you speak a lot of sweet something or sweet nothing. And you want to hear, yeah, wow, when you come back home, woo, she said this to me, and or she said this to me. You all know that, you all, those of you who are married. Yes, Brother John. We're not guilty, huh? When we go with the pathology, and that's all the experience things. You know. But of course, that should be our relationship with Christ. Stir me with fragrance, comfort me with apple. He satisfied me, that is. His left hand is under my head, his right hand to embrace me. I charge you, all you daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the highs of the field, that you stir not up nor awake love. See, he please. Now, first of all, here in the King James Version, if you are using the King James Version, you can strike off one word. The word that is in italic called mine, my love. That word should not be there, because that word is in italic. You know it's in italic. Huh? It's not talking about my love as my woman. Huh? It says that, he said, don't awake my love. No, no. It doesn't mean that. Don't awake passion. Don't interrupt passion. Now we have passion with Christ. We make love to Christ. Amen. Yes. So don't let anybody interrupt your passion with the Lord and bring you down with a downcast face and very high. I'm so sad. I'm so disappointed. Don't let it interrupt that. Your relationship, your love with Christ, your love with the Lord, don't let anybody interrupt it. So he said, don't awake, don't interrupt passion, love, your relationship, your affection. You understand? Not my love as, you know, as a person. No. So now, as this woman said, I charge you, oh, daughter of Jerusalem, by the roe and by the high. Oh, you know what a roe is? The roes are gazelles. You know what gazelles are? Those of deer-like animals that goes to like to, you know, jump in and very happy. That's a roe. And then the hinds. The hinds are the female deer. You know? Okay? So he says that, I charge you, all Jerusalem, you daughter of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the females, it is, you know, they are very gentle. They are very shy. These animals are shy. You understand that? So, said, I told you, but you know that when people make love and embrace to each other and talk to each other, they like to be in private and kind of shy, you know, especially being alone. So don't disturb, don't interrupt us. That is to say, do not stir up, don't interrupt. Okay, until he wishes to stop. Okay? So we should not be stopping. You see, the woman is speaking until he pleases, not till her. We should always continue to love Christ. And will Christ stop loving us? No. So there's a reason. There is a relationship. This is the Song of Solomon, the intensity, a passion one for another. And this is one of the most beautiful part of this book, is because this is where that song is written from. You know. Alright, now, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hill. Oh, Christ is coming. And then, oh, it looks like he is excited to meet us. You know what Christ certainly is? He's excited to meet us. After all, he paid his price for us. For the one that he loves. Huh? Is that true? Certainly. And he wants to take the bride home and show off to the Father. Remember? Like God, on the day when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened. And John heard the voice of God speaking to him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Did I? And Jesus Christ is pleased with us when He comes to take us home to the Father. Father, this is my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. Wow, you see. The Father was well pleased with the Son was well pleased with the wife. Now, so how serious that should be in our relationship? You know, it's we all know that the journey begins with the first step. Whatever you want to do. You want to go on a long journey, you want to go over for a long holiday, it must begin with the first step. And when you take the first step to do whatever you need to do, you continue on down till you finish and accomplish it. Some people, have all that desire to do this and do that. They take the first step, second step, third step, and then after that, they stop stepping. So what is joyous? I have been a Christian before I was 12 years old. And my experience with the Lord since 12 years onward until now. I'm 66. So how many years? 54 years. Huh? I'm still going. Because this journey is a thrill. There are many exploits ahead of me still, you know. And what about you? Some of you, when you take the first step, 1 year, 2 years after that, you start backsliding and you go off into the world. You don't couldn't care less anymore about Christ. How much do you love the Lord? And my friend used to tell me, but again, why is it so important about all this that you're preaching? All those Christians out there in different denominations, they don't have eternal life? So I said, I didn't say that. By the way, he's saying that, he said that it's not important to know about doctrine. Is doctrine important? What is doctrine? Doctrine means teaching. And what is teaching? Teaching about the truth, about God's plans, God's purpose, and about you in your own characters. How you should live your life. If those teachings are not important, all you want is John 3:16. Mind you, the devil believed that too. The devil believed every word of God. Many people just take John 3:16 and think that's okay. I'm going to heaven anyway, I'm a child of God. Don't deceive yourself. That's what the Bible said in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, don't deceive thyself. Huh? Israel was called by God. They are such a problem. So much carnality among them. They can worship God, Yahweh, on Sabbath day, on the feast day, and yet they're so rebellious until you don't say this. Who is on the Lord's side? Or Moses said, let him come. And what did Gideon say? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. What do you mean by serving the Lord? To be a disciple, not a follower. The journey is going to get harder now. You may think that here at some point everything is quite safe. The government may worry about the terrorism that's coming here from ISIS. Anything can happen, you know. The grenade that's been thrown down over in Malaysia, people say, oh, it's just a gangland fight. Who knows? You think so? I mean, sometimes, you know, newspaper is trying to, cover up a little, tell some lies, okay? Don't tell them the truth, huh? The Lord through the Lord has been reported. Do you all know that?
Yes.
As far as all those things, problems up there in Europe, America, in the Middle East, and you never get real news. You want to go real news? I told you, go to RT.com. Go to Israel News. And there are many news media has already been banned by the government for reporting. And even some of the journalists' lives have been under threat. You think the government is going to tell that? You know. Where news come from? Here in Singapore, you're Straits Time. News are purchased from other newspapers, from other countries, right? We all know that. But how do you put good news in the paper when you don't have the real news? When you buy from somebody else, that's the news they have, you get it. But sometimes you do get good ones. You know. Well, like yesterday's paper about what our founding father, Lee Kuan Yew, had done in Singapore to preserve what we have today. Fighting against the communists because he was aware. You see? Even the people said, how did he get all this information from? About the activities of the communists? Huh? When they don't even have it. Oh, I was just reading it and I said, oh, how true that is. People are asking me, Brother, where do you get all the information? Where do you get all this revelation from? I have to do research. You know, you need to know. Lee Kuan Yew knows who he was in those days. That's why he make a stand for it and he fight for it, and that's why we are what we are today. And today we are young people, teenagers, young men, young women who think they know a whole lot better than we know. That's why in Europe, in America, teenagers, they know next to nothing. They think they know a lot just because they have a lot of technology. And they talk like they know a lot. Huh? Lee Kuan Yew was campaigning those days. I was a little boy. I loved to hear him. I always went up there whenever he came to our constituency, I would go. Or nearby constituency, someplace else, Tanglin Hawk, you know where, or where in Strathmore, I would go and listen to him. Because he speaks so well. I was in my primary school age in secondary one just to hear him. People who knows the truth and make a stand for it is worthy of your praise. You know that? And that's what makes Singapore today, because of him. And he had the information, he studied, he dig into it. Here today we have a lot of people that come up to the pulpit. Who like what I always know. They will go on Saturday night. You know, I don't prepare my message on Saturday night. When I go home today, tomorrow he starts and I'll be praying, the Lord, what am I going to preach? And my mind will be running, what am I going to look at? Because I'm going to feed my people. And all we're on this Saturday. And what is sick and go to the toilet and diarrhea. Like some people do complain about that to me. So what a hard time. What did I do? Go to the internet, Google some quotes of Brother Branham, print it out, come to the church, read it, and give it to the people. What information is there that you cannot get from the books of Brother Branham? From the tapes of Brother Branham? You can read it for yourself. But we need more information about what God is doing and what God wants us to do in this generation. This is manifesting time. It's not about quotes of 50 years ago. Or 60 years ago. We have moved from the shout to the voice of the archangels. Now we are hearing the voice of the chief angel. People said that was not what it means. Really? That's about Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. People still do not even know that who is he talking about. Huh? How many people interpret John, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, right? Just look at it. You want to remember Malachi 3? How do the people interpret in denomination? How do the people interpret even in this end time message? If we want to know truth, look into it closer, and God is going to reward you. Malachi 3, behold, I was sending my messenger, he shall prepare the way before you. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. What this verse refers to? It refers to when Jesus Christ went to the temple as a little boy. Which one? The one where the priest dedicated him? Or the one when he was 12 years old? Which one? What actually is this verse talking about then? There are two messengers here. Behold, I send you my messenger. That was John the Baptist. And then the Lord whom you seek, he shall suddenly come. Yeah, he is the messenger of the covenant. Who is that? It was none other than Yahweh that came down upon Jesus in the river Jordan. He shall suddenly come. Well, you don't even know it. When you least expect it. That's what it is. At least expect it. When Jesus is going to come for the bride, just like God came down in Jesus Christ on the day of his baptism, he comes suddenly. You least, John the Baptist least expected. Is that right? He didn't expect it. We need to watch where we're walking and how we're walking it. You know, when Jesus told John when he went into the water, and don't look at him. Ooh, he recognized who he was. Then he said to Jesus, you know what? You should baptize me. You know what? He's amazing. But Jesus said, you know what, John? It behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. What is all righteousness? Righteousness is the word of God. Fulfill it. John, you do your part. I do mine. And here was a servant. The baptized the Lord who sent him. Think about it. That's why it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Everything the word of God says, you do what the word requires of you to do. It is proper that we fulfill it. That's right, ladies. Look at what he said. Let us go back to Song of Solomon now. So, behold, verse 8, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping upon the mountain, skipping upon the hill. My beloved is like a roar, or a young heart. A young heart is not a hind. A young heart is the male deer. Or a stag. Alright? Or a stag. The one that has these horns and all the male deer. Behold, he stands behind our wall. He looked forth at the windows, showing himself to the lattice. Now, you know, the bride is in the room waiting. And here comes the bridegroom, or the groom, or the lover. Comes, he's behind the wall, he's coming. Behind the wall, the courtyard. He's behind the wall. Now he comes from behind the wall, coming to the court, and then approach the house, approach the window. So now he's at the window. And he's standing at the window, and the lattice is there, and so to let the bride know, I'm here. I've arrived. You know what this is like. Huh? Yes. If the girl is really desiring this man and waiting patiently, so the man comes, you know, walking like a peacock. Here I am. So what do you think the girl will do? Is she excited? Yeah, it's my beloved, right? You don't just sit there, come. You know, like some of us Christians also, we don't have this attitude of really wanting to embrace Christ. Is Christ coming soon? Yes, it's coming soon. When? 50 years from now. 50 years from now. How old are you? 20 years old. So you want to wait 50 years and then 70 years old, he comes. So why?
because now I enjoy my life.
Many people don't believe that Christ is coming soon. But your friend is saying that Christ is coming soon, he's coming soon, but he has not come yet. Look, the signs upon the horizon now. We are looking at prophecy. We know that from the early 20th century, they said, he's coming soon, he's coming soon. Because why, when the Holy Spirit was powerful, they thought that was the latter rain. Do you know that? They thought it was the latter rain. So, oh, he's coming soon. That's what the song was written. But Jesus tarried. Because there are certain signs, certain prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. Until they are fulfilled, Christ cannot come. He cannot break his word. You understand that? That's why the Ezekiel war must be fought. The problem of the Middle East must be solved. And they're not going to be solved the way they think they can. They think that they're going to solve. You're going to have that war fought there. And Russia and coming down to fight. You know. And we see also the signs of the churches committing fornication with the Word of God. So all these signs that they must still come to pass. And people are watching Israel. They are watching Russia. Right? So there must be some. Okay, so now. Verse 10. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. Come with me. My fair one. My love, my fair one. And I said, Jesus, call her my fair one. How can she be fair when she's black? Huh? See, the thing right now here is we see the black, the words, I'm black. So the woman, Shulamite, saying is that no doubt that she was darker than most, but she, the application here, I'm black, means I'm black, blackened with sin. But now, if she belongs to the Shabbat lover, my fair one, your beautiful will have my pure one, my beloved, my lovely one, you're clean. We are clean. Come away with me now. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. Ah, gloomy period. We have been in the gloomy period. It's all gone now. Let's come. Come with me now. The flower appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the bird is come. The voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Turtle doesn't mean the turtle can sing. The turtle here means the turtle dove. Okay? It's a translated turtle. But they don't say they call it turtle. I don't know why they call it turtle. Maybe you'd like to find out from Wikipedia why is it called turtle. Sometimes, you know, like what we have, the dove, they call pigeon. Another time it's called pigeon or called dove, right? Pigeon, I think, is the English word. Dove is the French word or something like that. So people call it differently. Right? Okay? So the same thing with the languages. So now, here is the time, the springtime, now is the time to rejoice. Now is the time to be excited. Everything is new now. Arise, my love. Verse 13. The fig tree put forth her green figs, and the vine with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, come away. Now is, the spring has come, the winter's gone. The fig tree now has put on thick. Now, you know, we read early on in Matthew 24, see, when you see the fig tree put on leaves, summer is near. But here it's talking about spring, and the fig has put on its fruits. Now, there are actually two seasons, two crops that the figs will bear. Okay? The spring and the other one, I think, is late autumn or something. But most fig will produce fig all the year round. But some of them put more abundantly during the springtime when they start to bloom. Okay, so it is a time now that we should bring forth fruit. Springtime. And the vines with the tender grapes, or the flowers actually, tender grape flowers now give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, come. Oh, my love. Thou art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the stair. Let me see thy face, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Who is that speaking? That's the male. That's the lover. Oh, my dove, my dove. And I call the woman my dove. I think it's good when you, I don't know how many of you men, brothers here, call your wife by any special name. And most of the time you call honey, darling, right? Yes, no? Yeah. How many of you ever call your wife my dove? No. I call my wife my dove. When I first know her, I read to her this song book. This song of Solomon. But certainly you don't call your wife my pigeon. Isn't that funny, wasn't it? You got a pigeon and dove is about the same bird. You know, but you don't call, you always have my dove. But don't call it my pigeon or my turtle. Sounds terrible. Alright, so my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock. In a way, dove used to fly to, away from danger. It's always trying to find a crack someplace. You know how the pigeons are? Sometimes they hide in crabs here and there, you know? Or they hide in bushes. And this is a crack of the rock, so they'll find any place on the side of the hill where there's a crack, they'll hide. Because if there are other big animals like eagles coming to attack them, or crows, you know, birds of prey, they're trying to get at them, they'll hide there. Alright. And in the secret place of the stair. No, stairs. In the secret place so high, as the song put it that way. If a stair means, it's a stair, it's a walk, it's a walkway, you know, up the hill you have this stair, huh? Stair curving around the side. And sometimes there's a little crack. There, the pigeon will hide inside there too. Okay, have you ever walked on the hillside and there where your bushes, you have little holes there, and it's actually birds are there too. So pigeons sometimes they'll sometimes hide themselves there. Okay, in the secret place of the stair, let me see thy countenance, let me hear your voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Oh, now that's the love of Christ speaking. Now we should be like that. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, to spoil the vine, for the vines have tender grapes. Now take us the little foxes. Take those foxes, take them, let us take them and throw them and kill them away. Those foxes are nuisance. You know what the foxes? Little foxes to spoil the vine. Little problems in life. But here we can also look at not just the problem in life. Little irritants here and there. Huh? A little quarrels, a little misunderstanding. But he also talks about little what we call doctrines, the interpretation of scripture that is wrong, that tries to take and destroy us. Huh? Yes. Or it takes a little so-called revelation and they can destroy you. You know that, don't you? Yes. You know. That's why some people over the years, that's what, like we have this in Nigeria. This Amos doctrine. You know how some of the churches I told you were destroyed? And I warned them, don't go that way. But they did. And that's why Brother Nice found all that so many churches were so confused. He said, Brother, please help us get something. That's when the book really go was written. And when it was sent there, and the minister read it, many of them, their eyes were open. Their eyes were open. You know. So don't let these little foxes to spoil the vine. Damage your crop. Damage your fruits. In your life, when you spoil the vine, not only just the fruit, you know these foxes, they like the grapes. When they start taking on the grapes, they start to pull. You pull when you pull the whole vine, you tear the whole vine, or you damage the vine. Until what happened? The vine just died, cannot produce fruits. Yeah. So don't let doctrine, don't let a little petty thing or any problem or whatever to try to take that and spoil you. Remember. We are part of the vine of Christ. My beloved is mine now. Is singing. The woman is singing. My beloved is mine, I'm his. He feed among the lilies. Of course, the shepherd always eat. And they're sitting out there and they're watching over the sheep. He eat his meal among the lilies as well. He feed among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadow flee away, turn, my beloved, turn to me. Be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bethel. Until the daybreak. Now here we have a little a problem trying to figure that out. Until the daybreak. When you said daybreak, you think about the sun coming up, right? If the sun coming up, how can the shadow flee away? When the sun comes out, that's when you've got a shadow. Isn't that alright? So how can the shadow flee away? First of all, let me just give you an understanding. The Bible here is Hebrew. Okay? It's Hebrew. So daybreak is to say when the day dawns to the next day. So this daybreak can give a little strange interpretation. So we know that as the sunset, that's where the sun is higher, the shadow is shorter. So when the sun goes down, the shadow gets longer. Is that right? So when the sun completely went over the horizon, the shadow flees away, no more. Okay, so he's talking about daybreak in that sense. But, on the other hand, let me just put it to you. Daybreak means the day dawn. To a new day, or to a new period, that's to say. But actually here in the Hebrew, they're giving the understanding is about this is called the first dawn. It's when the air is fresh. You know? When the evening breeze comes. That is actually a period. But if you were to apply the as to say about, I'm getting this revelation, trying to get a feeling up, as to say about the rising of the sun, until the day dawn. Make love in the night, until the day dawn, yes. And the shadow flee away. Now, shadow don't talk about as if the shadows on the floor. The shadow is things that you do not see, that you don't understand. Right? When Christ comes, we shall be known as we are known. Remember? When we look into the Bible right now, as in the mirror, right? We only look at it darkly. Remember darkly? Correct? Like a shadow. We can see everything clearer. But when Christ comes and the day break, all these shadows that we don't understand flees away. Get it? Are you following me? Alright, so until the daybreak and the shadow flee away, turn my love, turn to me. That is to say. Alright. And be thou like a roe or young hart upon the mountain of Bethel. Means the mountain of the word Bethel. Bethel is division. Upon the mountain of division. So when the daybreak comes, oh my, they're so fresh. We breathe in the fresh. No surprise when it comes. The shadow is going to go away. You know what to me now? The Bible, a lot of things that I don't used to know in the past, now become clearer to me. And the shadow is going to flee away when Christ is getting nearer and nearer to us. And he reveals himself more and more. The shadow is going to flee away. Do you understand? So here in this chapter, it's all about your relationship with the one who loves you and the one you love. And we need to really have intimacy, the passion to love him, because this is manifesting time. Do you understand that? Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Keep us, Father, Lord, again, always in thy word. Keep us a love, Lord, that truly can respond to you, Lord, and to love you as we ought to love you, sincerely with all our hearts, our mind, our soul, and our spirit, and our body. Let nothing, Father, Lord, spoil the vine. All the little foxes and whatever, Lord. We ask that, Lord, you help us. Give us the strength. Commit all things to you today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.